This content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Janice Peary for the North Carolina Reading Service. Welcome to Read to Succeed, a program especially for young children. Today, our first story is It's Baking Day at Grandma's by Annika Denise. It's baking day, it's baking day, it's baking day at Grandma's. Three little bears leave their house in deep snow, so it's winter time, and go to see their grandma. Bundle up, it's time to go out across the drifts of snow. And there the three little bears go, past the pond so smooth and clear, little cottage drawing near. Knock, knock, knock on Grandma's door. Hear her pad across the floor. Plant a kiss on Grandma's nose. Cozy fire, warming toes. It's baking day, it's baking day, it's baking day at Grandma's. What do you think Grandma's going to make today in her baking? Wooden spoon and measuring cup. Fold it, mix the batter and stir it up. Fold it gently in the pan. Pick the spoon because we can. Hop down from the tippy chair. Smell the sweetness in the air. One hot cocoa at each place. Frosty windows, smiley face. Old-time music, soft and sweet. Skippy nose, toes, and tapping feet. Learning songs that Grandma sings. When the kitchen timer rings, bing, bing, it's baking day, it's baking day, it's baking days at Grandma's. Grandma is checking what she's baking. Flip the pan and out it pops. Cut in squares and frost the tops. Add some sprinkles, wrap each one, tie a ribbon, nearly done. I think they're making their brownies to take to friends because they're wrapping each one's up. Tasty treats in pretty bags, each one marked with little tags. Coats and boots and hats and gloves. The hugs we know that Grandma loves. She loves hugs from her little grandchildren. It's baking day, it's baking day, it's baking day at Grandma's, say the three little bears as they walk out across the snow just as the sun is starting to go down over their forest. They're leaving and they're probably taking some treats home. Walking home under the moon, back to visit Grandma soon. And at the end of this book, there's a story to make Grandma Rosie's chocolate cake. So maybe that was not brownies, that might have been chocolate cake. This book is called Snowmen at Night. Now, we haven't had any snow this winter yet, but I surely hope we have some this year. One wintry day, I made a snowman, very round and tall. The next day when I saw him, he was not the same at all. His hat had slipped, his arms drooped down. He really looked a fright. It made me start to wonder, what do snowmen do at night? I think that snowmen start to slide when it gets really dark, off the lawn and down the street, right into the park. And here are all the snowmen coming out onto the road at night, and they're all going to the park. They gather in a circle while they wait for all the others, sipping cups of ice-cold cocoa made by snowmen mothers. How nice. There they're all sit in the picnic table in the park, and the moms are pouring out cups of cold chocolate for the snowmen, not hot chocolate for the snowmen, because that would help them to melt. Yum, yum. And then the snowman games begin. They line up in their places, each one anxious for his turn in the snowman races. Oops, one of the snowmen fell over. This next one is trying to catch up to the other guy who's ahead, from the other team who's ahead of him. They're running a relay race. After everyone has had a chance at racing once or twice, they go on over to the pond to do skating tricks on the ice. Oops, someone has fallen over. Someone's fallen over onto his tummy. Someone's being dragged back by his stick arms by another snowman. And they look like they're having such a good time on the frozen pond. Sometimes they start giggling, and then they act like clowns. They bump into each other till they all fall down. Whoops, I hope they're all okay. They gather up their snowballs. The pitcher takes his aim, and underneath the moonlit sky they play a baseball game. And here, the bat they're using for their baseball game is the broom that one of them carries. No one knows just how it started, but soon it's quite a sight, with snowmen throwing snowballs in the world's best snowman fight. So it turns out they weren't playing baseball after all. They were throwing snowballs and having a great time. And there's one snowman sliding down the slide. Then it's time for sledding. It's a wild ride down the hill. And they're just sledding on their... Some are sledding on their tires. And some are sledding on an actual sled. And someone's just going down on his tummy. Someone's rolling down on... doing somersaults all the way down. Wahoo! They yell. This is by far the biggest snowman thrill. Finally, they're tuckered out and getting sleepy, so they slowly gather up their things, and one by one they go. So if your snowman's grin is crooked, or he's lost a little height, you'll know he's just been doing what snowmen do at night. Here's a snowman back at home, and his little boy who made him is looking at him because the snowman's head sort of slipped over to the side and his nose has fallen into his eye, and the snowman's lost his mittens and his broom. He just sort of tipped over to one side and looking like he needs someone to fix him back up again. And that's the end of that story. Our next story is called Listening with My Heart, and it's a story about being kind, not just to others, but to yourself, too, and it's written by Gabby Garcia. And this is a book starting with a little girl named Esperanza's. Esperanza's tummy fluttered as she practiced her lines on the porch. Today was the class play. Waiting for Mama to walk with her to her school, she paced back and forth when she spotted a heart-shaped rock. Esperanza picked it up and showed it to Mama as soon as she stepped outside. "I see you found a little treasure," said Mama. Esperanza rubbed its rough surface and felt a twinkle of joy. "Maybe it's a sign." "For what?" asked Mama. She thought about the class play later that afternoon, wondering what it would finally be like in the spotlight. "To put my heart into everything I do," Esperanza said. That's a nice thought. At that moment, they heard scratching and a soft cry. Esperanza peeked under the stairs and spotted a kitty shaking and shivering. No Mama in sight. She scooped the kitten onto her lap and cuddled her. "She's all alone. I think she's hungry." Esperanza reached for her lunch bag, pinched off a piece of chicken, and offered it to the kitty, who gobbled it up. "Mama, I think the rock is a reminder to spread kindness and love. That's what we do when we listen with our hearts." "I think you're on to something," said Mama. "Can we keep Cleocatra, please?" asked Esperanza, who'd already named the kitty. "Queens are already welcome, always welcome at our house," said Mama. "If she's still here after school, we'll take her in." So do you think the kitty's going to be there after school? Let's hope so. A smile spread across Bao's face. He stood, popped his ball in the air, and then bounced it between his knee and his head a few times. "Dude's got moves," thought Esperanza. They spent recess giggling and making up hand signals. Afterwards, Esperanza borrowed Mrs. Owen's English to Vietnamese dictionary. She wrote friend in Vietnamese, drew a picture of Bao and her, and then put it on her desk, on his desk. Esperanza rubbed the rock inside her pocket, listening with her heart, made her feel peaceful inside. Finally, it was time for the performance. It was too late for Bao to be in the play, but he stood at Mrs. Owen's side as a stagehand. Excitement bubbled as Esperanza waited her cue. Esperanza walked on the stage, tripped as she was about to say her first line, and splattered across the stage. When she got up, she forgot her lines, so Mrs. Owen whispered them to her from backstage. Heat rushed through Esperanza's body as all eyes were glued to her. She wished she could disappear. She's looking very sad in that picture. I ruined the play, thought Esperanza, rushing off the stage as soon as she'd finished her part. I messed up in front of everyone. She tucked herself in behind some props so that no one would see her. Esperanza noticed that her body was shaking and that her face was still burning. She took a deep breath and dug the rock out of her pocket. It was cracked and lopsided, just how she felt. Esperanza touched her hand to her heart and felt the disappointment. Bao found Esperanza a few minutes later and handed her a drawing with the word friend written above it. Esperanza noticed she had not been treating herself like a friend. Bao drew a picture of herself, and wrote friend in English across the top, just like Esperanza had written him a note and written friend in Vietnamese across the top of the picture she left for him. Esperanza realized that this wasn't the first time she'd been unkind to herself. At the soccer game last weekend, she'd missed the ball that swooshed by her head, and they lost the game. Nice work, a player from the other team yelled as the others laughed. Esperanza thought she'd let her team down and was the worst soccer player in the whole world. Thinking those thoughts had made her feel worse. At the curtain call, Esperanza reminded herself she hadn't ruined the play. She had had an accident, and accidents happen to everyone. Listening with her heart wasn't just about giving kindness and love to others. It was about giving it to herself, too. I can be a friend to myself, thought Esperanza. When Esperanza got home, she focused on her favorite things. She dipped down the hill on her bike and then spent the afternoon painting at the kitchen table. She also got the hug she needed from Mama and some cuddles from Cleopatra. So her mom's letting her keep Cleopatra, cute little kitten. And that is the end of this book. And it's to remind you that you also need to be kind to yourself when you have an accident, or when you've done something wrong, or when you're really embarrassed. You need to listen to yourself with your heart. And that is the end of that very, very nice book. This book is called Becoming a Good Creature, words by Cy Montgomery and pictures by Rebecca Green. Animals have so much to teach us, this lady says. She is the one who is talking in this book and telling about all the teachers she has met in her life who have helped her become a good person. On becoming a good creature, school is not the only place to find a teacher. Sometimes we meet teachers in the forest or in the barn or in the ocean or right in our own house. Some of my teachers have had two legs while others have had four or even eight. But all have taught me something important about how to be a good creature in this world. Finding good teachers. When I was a little girl, I wanted to be a dog. I wanted to run really fast and see in the dark. I wanted to understand the sounds of my neighborhood, both wild and tame. Squeak, chirp, chirp, bow, wow, meow. But no one could show me how until Molly. Molly was only a puppy when she came to live with us, but she was already gifted with special animal powers. So I watched her. I listened, and I learned that if we pay attention, the world outside beckons us. Even before I started school, Molly became my first teacher. Secondly, discover your passion. When I grew up, I still hungered to learn all about animals. In Australia, I met birds who stood almost as tall as I did. Emus can't fly, that's the name of those birds, an emu. But they run like the wind. What were their lives like? I wanted to know. So I moved into a tent in the wild to find out. For many months, I followed three emus and watched them like I had watched Molly. They showed me where they traveled and what they ate. And while I followed them, they also showed me my own path. I would go to places where animals lived. Each would be a new teacher, and I would write their stories. Then we learned learning how to respect others. Next, I went to Africa to meet gorillas. I hiked in the mountains there for a long time. It was nothing like my home in New Hampshire. As I stopped to catch my breath, I saw a person running towards me. Why? Because a big gorilla was chasing him. But I didn't run. I crouched low and looked at the ground as if bowing before a king. The gorilla stood, beat his chest, and let out a roar. And when he saw that I understood that he was boss, he turned and calmly led me to meet his gorilla family. Ever since that day, I respected my animal hosts and their homes. Another thing I learned is don't be afraid. In India, I met tigers. In Africa, I met lions. Scary things. All those animals are scary. In the rivers, I swam with piranhas and electric eels. Piranhas are fish, little fish that can bite you and start to chew on you and eat you up. And electric eels are also very dangerous. In the ocean, I met sharks. None of them ever hurt me. And that's because she was respecting them and following the rules they needed so they would keep away from her and not hurt her. I've learned to wait patiently. I traveled to Australia again, this time to meet a different bird. The cassowary, like the emu, is a tall bird who runs instead of flies. I was eager to meet one and spent a week trekking through their rainforest home. But no cassowary. An hour before I had to leave, I went one more time to say goodbye to the beautiful empty jungle. A cassowary stepped out from the trees before me. He was close enough for me to see his eyelashes. I was so glad that I had waited. Another thing to learn is make your own family. At home, animals continue to teach me. My husband and I didn't plan on having babies, but soon a baby came to us, a baby pig. We named him Christopher Hogwood. Two little girls and their mother moved in next door. They saw Chris in the backyard and came to visit every day. He was a very happy pig. We aren't at all related, but Christopher showed us that it didn't matter. We became one big family. My husband, our border collie Tess, our hens, the two little girls and their mom, and one very happy pig. Pictures in this book are so good. I do wish I could show them to you. Another thing I have learned is see for yourself. I've heard it all before. Hyenas are ugly. Hyenas are lazy. Hyenas are thieves. They will even steal food from lions. Everyone said so, even the Lion King. But then I visited a hyena den. The fluffy cubs wrestled like playing puppies. Mothers tenderly licked their babies. And they weren't stealing food from lions. More often, lions stole food from the hyenas. Hyenas reminded me that what everyone says is not always true. Another thing is love little lives. I never gave spiders much thought until I met one in South America who was almost as big as a chipmunk. Yike! She was a sleek black tarantula, toes tipped in pink, just like she'd had a fancy pedicure. She lived in a potted plant at a nature center. We learned that she was a gentle kind of tarantula who can live for 30 years, believe it or not. We named her Clarabelle and let her walk across our hands each night. We think she liked us. We sure liked her. Clarabelle showed us that little lives matter as much as big lives. And I learned forgiveness. One Christmas morning, I found an intruder in our hen house, a white-coated weasel. Though tiny, weasels are fierce. They catch and eat animals much bigger than themselves. They even eat chickens. Towering above him, I looked into the weasel's black eyes. Fearlessly, the little weasel stared back. How brave he was, and how beautiful in his snowy winter coat. I was dazzled by his determination, and I couldn't be angry at his will to survive. And another thing I learned was to find common ground. Octavia had 8 arms, 3 hearts, and no bones. She lived in the water, and I live on land. What could we possibly have in common? What do you think Olivia was? Olivia was an octopus. We both liked to play. As different as we were, we became friends. Trust tomorrow. The little girls next door moved away. Our pig grew old. Our dog grew old. It felt like everything was ending. And then one day I got a phone call from our veterinarian. He told me that a neighbor's border collie had just had pups. They were all valuable dogs with important work to do, herding sheep, cows, and pigs when they grew up. All the babies already had farm families waiting for them. All but one. One puppy had a blind eye. Would I take him? Thurber, the dog with the blind eye, taught me the best lesson of all. Even in the darkest times, there may be a wonderful new teacher waiting for you right around the corner. To all my creatures who have been my teachers, wild and tame, named and unnamed, animal and human, thank you for showing me a world more surprising, more alive, and far more glorious than I could ever imagine. And the lady's name is Cy Montgomery. And here's some pictures of her. Here's one with her playing with Olivia, the huge octopus, and one with her sitting beside a tiger in India. And there's the pig. What was his name now? I can't remember. But the pig was black and white and very cute looking. And at the end she says, thank you for my high school teachers. And that's the end of this very lovely book. I like that book because it's a true story. And there's all sorts of pictures of this lady named Cy Montgomery going to different places and learning about the different animals. Now, we have a book called Going to the Dentist. Have you been to the dentist yet? Have you? I hope you had a good time there and weren't scared. Who's this by? Just general people. Here's the name of the person. Anne Kivardi. So, here we go. This is the Judd family. There's Mr. Judd, Mrs. Judd, Jasper the dog, Jake the little boy, and Jessie the very little girl, and a little kitten. Jake and Jessie needed to have a checkup with their dentist. Mr. Judd phones to make an appointment. A few days later, they go to see the dentist. Mrs. Judd takes Jake and Jesse in her car. Mr. Judd stays home with Jasper the dog. Uh-oh. Do you think the kitty went with the kids? The dentist is very busy. There are lots of people waiting to see him. Jake and Jesse play in the waiting room until it is their turn. Lots and lots of toys there to play with, and comic books and kids' books to read. Jake and Jesse met the dental assistant. She calls them in to see the dentist. She is going to help with Jake and Jesse's checkup. "Hello, Jake. Hello, Jesse," says the dentist. "Hello," say Jake and Jesse. The dentist says that Mrs. Judd can come in and watch, too. Jesse goes first. She sits in a special chair that can go up and down. And then the dental assistant puts a bib around Jesse's neck. Jesse has her teeth checked. There's a spotlight above Jesse that shines down into her mouth. The dentist wears special gloves and a mask over his nose and mouth. He puts the chair back before he checks Jesse's teeth. Jesse opens her mouth wide. He uses a mirror to see inside. The dentist looks at each of Jesse's teeth. The dental assistant makes notes about them on the computer. The dentist has finished with Jesse. He is very pleased with her. Jesse has no holes in her teeth, and now she can rinse out her mouth. Now it is Jake's turn. When the dentist checks Jake's teeth, he finds a small hole in one of them. This means that Jake needs to have a filling. The dentist rubs some gel into Jake's gums and makes Jake's tooth numb. Jake has a filling. The dentist removes the bad part of Jake's tooth. A suction hose is used to keep Jake's mouth dry. Then the filling materials are prepared for the dentist. The dentist puts the filling in place. Now Jake will not get a toothache. That's good, isn't it? A hole in your tooth is called a cavity. The children learn how to take care of your teeth. And gums are very important, too. Unhealthy teeth and gums look yellowish, and they've got little cracks in it. And the dentist shows them what will happen if they don't take care of their teeth properly, if they eat lots of junk food and don't eat good vegetables and apples and good things to drink and good milk and all that stuff. And he says they should be careful of what they eat and drink because sugar in sweet foods and drinks are bad for teeth. Jake and Jesse learn how to brush and floss their teeth really well. This gets rid of old food that can cause holes. Jake and Jesse must brush their teeth twice a day and use fluoride toothpaste to keep them healthy. Well, it looks like we've run out of time for today's episode of Read to Succeed. Be sure to listen next time. I hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Janice Peary, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. For more information about NCRS, please visit our website at ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening today.